storm. A ravaged canvas man of war. And oh, they were scared to death as monsters bloom inside their head. As monsters bloom inside their little heads. And oh, thank God for the sound glass makes when it shatters. Oh, I forgot about the mission. And oh, thank God we've extinguished safety measures. But you bitched about our luck and said we're just not ready for this. Anti-poetry, don't break down my game. Sound glass makes when it shatters. Oh, I forgot about the mission. And oh, thank God we've extinguished safety measures. But you bitched about our luck and said we're just not ready for this.
You are listening to CKGI on CHLY Radio Gabriola News, thanks to 101.7 FM Radio Malaspina. My name is Ken Zakreski. I am your host for this inaugural show. Today we speak with Deborah Ferens, Gabriola Island Trust Council representative, about the upcoming climate change review of Gabriola's official community plan.
Climate change is something that is absolutely imperative we look at.
We'll hear more from Ms. Ferens, but first some background on Bill 27, the provincial legislation enabling this review and previous actions the Islands Trust has undertaken on addressing climate change. Bill 27 covers many aspects of community charter in various areas of BC by amendment to include language for addressing climate change. One portion relevant to Island Trust areas is that, quoting here, an official community plan must include targets for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions in the area covered by the plan and policies and actions of the local government proposed with respect to achieving those targets, end quote. This requires Gabriola's local government, the Islands Trust, to commence an official community plan to include targets for reductions. Land use is a key driver of greenhouse gas emissions, and shifting land use patterns is one way to reduce a community's carbon footprint. Prior to Bill 27, the Islands Trust has been involved with addressing climate change by advocating and implementing reduction measures. My research shows as far back as March of 2005, Trust Council started with advocating on climate change and energy issues. In September of 2006, they did call on the federal government to meet Canada's commitment under Kyoto. The trust has committed to carbon-neutral government operations under an action plan. Climate Wise Islands, in another initiative launched in September of 2009, this new initiative expresses a commitment to build sustainable and low-carbon island communities through innovative land use planning and advocacy. Finally, the Trust Council has made addressing climate change through Bill 27 its top priority. I met up with Deborah Ferens following the local trust process meeting, where they discussed and planned how they will undertake the community consultation for the reduction of greenhouse gases. I was immediately impressed with Ms. Ferens' suggestion to invite community groups already involved with addressing climate change. There are a menu of climate change policies in play. 1. Land use. 2. Transportation. 3. Building design, siting, and landscaping. 4. Energy source and supply. 5. Food and agriculture. 6. Natural areas and ecosystems. So let's hear what Ms. Ferens had to say about the upcoming meeting. I'm here with Deborah Ferens, who is our Island Trust representative for Gaborola. And we're talking about Bill 27, which is a provincial requirement for the Islands Trust to prepare for climate change adaptation under their zoning laws. So, hi, Deb.
Hello, Ken. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're just launching CKGI, our new website, and this is the Islands Trust interview we're doing for that show. So, Deb, what is the purpose of the upcoming meeting to discuss Bill 27?
The meeting on November 26th, which is a Thursday evening, I believe, will be to ask the community to come and help us as a local trust committee to look at the requirements of Bill 27, to provide feedback on some very specific areas that will have land use implications, and that input will go towards drafting some policies and actions that the local trust committee can write into the official community plan.
So this is an opportunity for the public to discuss changes that will show up in the official community plan regarding climate change. And the official community plan amendments are just a regular scheduled part of the process that you're under having anyway.
That's correct. We are beginning an OCP and land use bylaw review, which is totally separate from this particular process with Bill 27. We are doing this particular meeting for November 26th and the process that will follow it over the next few months to meet the requirements of Bill 27, which is provincially legislated, and it is for all local governments throughout BC. So it's municipal and trust areas. So this is a requirement to put greenhouse gas emission reduction targets, policies, and actions into official community plans. And for the trust area, the deadline date is May 2010 to have the OCP opened up, this work inserted with community input, and there'll still be a lot of other work to do after this. This is really the very first step that the community can help us with, and there will be more required and welcomed from the community as we work our way through our normal OCP process that's going to be looking at a lot of other things besides the climate change requirements.
So you've set the meeting date for, and that is, I'm just confirming here, it is Thursday, November 26th. And what time is the meeting and where is it to be located?
Good question. It is located at the Aggie Hall on South Road. We will be inviting everyone to come by 7 o'clock because we will have an open house between 7 and 7:30. And this will give an opportunity for people to just come in on a more casual basis for the first half hour and look at what our community is already doing around climate change, because there is a lot of groups and activities and organizations that have been, of course, working on this issue for a long time, and it's a chance for them to show us what they're doing, because a lot of what they are working on and focusing on are the kinds of things we want to see in the statements in our official community plan. So that will be between 7 and 7:30. And at 7:30 sharp, we will begin the actual meeting, which will be a combination meeting workshop. So it'll give an opportunity for people to divide into groups, talk about some very focused areas, and then move on to other table discussions and provide input, and the planners will take that away and work with that and bring it back to the community after Christmas.
So you brought up at the meeting today that was a process meeting scheduling this upcoming meeting. So it was a meeting about a meeting.
That's right.
Which was a good place for us to start covering the meetings at the Allen's Trust. You brought up the invitation to stakeholder groups, and that's why I wanted to interview specifically. I thought that is a very good way for elected officials to proceed and to approach and invite interested stakeholders. Tell me a little bit about what you were thinking of these stakeholders would present at the Allen's Trust meeting that you are intending to invite, or you will have staff invite, I guess.
That's right. Well, I guess the idea is that there are a lot of groups working on climate change from a whole lot of different angles. And the idea is for them to come with some of their information, be prepared to, on a very informal basis and a kind of casual basis, to showcase it to the public that will come, to be able to say, this is what we've been working on. And in that way, we'll be setting a kind of an atmosphere for the meeting in which we're not just starting at 0 mile here. There are people and organizations in our community that have been aware of this issue, who are working on it in their own focused way. And so the stakeholders themselves will have this opportunity to showcase their work. They won't necessarily be presenting like to the public, other than in an informal way for the public to come by and look at what they've got on their table, what they've been working on. And then later on, when the meeting starts, the people from those groups, we really hope that they choose to stay and become involved in the actual group discussions with other community members. So we think that there'll be value in particular organizations and groups working on this issue, mixing and collaborating and being cooperative and having those kinds of discussions with community members in general and with the planners and the trustees all together in one place.
Not to put you on the spot, Deb, but I wanted a little bit more of what particular groups that you wanted to have attend, and specifically what it is that you would like them to talk about that they've been doing within their mandate. So, for example, the trails on the island, or other sustainability groups that are studying the issue for you, transportation groups, for instance. Who would you like to see specifically, and what would you like to hear them talk about specifically?
I guess there's a lot of people out there and a lot of groups.
So, I don't want you to single anybody out, but let's go in no particular order, then, just to get you off the hook on not to specify any favorites, but who would you really like to see, and what would you like to see them present?
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the groups that has been around for a long time is Gabriola Area Land Trust, Trails and Land Trust, and the kind of work they're doing on connecting networks of trails and pathways around the island. That is the kind of work that is already looking at how do we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions on the island, because they are promoting ways to get around the island that aren't using vehicles. And so inviting a group like GALT to come and show the community the kinds of things they're working on just gives them I think recognizes Let me just rephrase that. I think it's a way for us to recognize that it isn't the trustees that have come up with this, and we're not just doing this because the government is saying you must meet the requirements of Bill 27. I think what we're saying is, in some ways, the public is often way ahead of what governments are doing. They're already thinking about these things, and they're out there being active and doing it, and they're doing great work. So GALT would be one example of an organization on the island doing that. So by inviting them here for that night, what we're saying is we recognize the work that they're doing. And in some ways, we're all running to catch up with them and give them some framework in an official community plan to make some of that work more official, more recognized, with targets, with policies, with actions, so that we can actually measure things at a certain point in time and say, you know, we're doing pretty good on Gabriel, though we actually are starting to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions.
What was brought up at the meeting is that when you look at the provincial average, Gabriola is not that, does not have a small footprint. Mm-hmm. It has quite a large footprint, mm-hmm. twice the provincial average, if I heard correctly. Mm-hmm. So we have an easier way to go in reducing our footprint. Mm-hmm. And what was mentioned was that transportation was one of the biggest contributors mm-hmm. to our footprint. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, or what was mentioned at the meeting was this idea of having some sort of public transport. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the issue of public transport will be the sort of the largest area that we can reduce our greenhouse gases on, Gabriela, given that we're double the provincial average?
Mm-hmm. Coming back to some of those information that was talked about earlier at the meeting, my understanding is that there'll be some updated information around statistics and inventory coming to the November 26th meeting that will provide information around inventories and possible targets. So I think there's some new information we're going to be getting. So some of the stuff we heard today has already been recognized as information that isn't really relevant to our island, and we are going to get some updated mm-hmm. Information. But having said that, it's probably true of all communities that our footprint in our communities is pretty high, and there is a need to reduce it. And I've forgotten the last part of your question.
It was on the transportation. Is transportation the area we could do the most good in reducing our carbon footprint?
Well, I think that's probably to be determined at this November 26th meeting. I think we've identified about six areas, transportation being one of them, and all of the areas identified will all have inventories, targets, policies, and actions with them. And it may be that once we get the diversity of our community in one room together, we may find that, unbeknownst to us, it's some other area. But I think that's the reason for bringing people together, because quite often our own community members are the ones that have the on-the-ground, you know, information. Maybe it's not totally scientific and highly quantifiable, but, you know, even the stories and the qualitative information they're going to bring is probably going to help us identify whether they're all of equal weight or whether there are some that are more on our island. But certainly the information about transportation was for the whole trust area, which would be all the islands.
I noticed at the meeting today there was no discussion surrounding changes out of islands trust jurisdiction. Is that because of the requirements under Bill 27? Or are you just not prepared to deal with making any recommendations that are outside of your political jurisdiction? For example, the amount of insulation you put in a wall in a commercial building, or the type of heating systems that are used, which are out of your jurisdiction and in the regional district of Nanaimo's jurisdiction.
Well, one of the ways we're addressing things that aren't in our jurisdiction, like we do really want to focus on what the Islands Trust can do, and its land use decisions. So that will be the focus. The other way we will be addressing some of the things that aren't in our jurisdiction is through advocacy statements and building partnerships. So we can put in our OCP and in the climate change section, the new climate change section, advocacy statements that would say things like, we will encourage our regional district to do this, and this. So we can put advocacy statements in, and we can put statements around working with other jurisdictions and levels of government on addressing this whole issue.
On that point, higher fares would definitely reduce traffic. Do you think the Islands Trust would be in a position to recommend to the Ferry Advisory Council to increase ferry fares?
I don't think, at this point, I can't see that would be part of the jurisdiction that we're in, that we could do that. And again, a lot of this would come from the community, and they're going to provide us a lot of feedback and a lot of information. So we'll be listening.
Sure. Regarding climate change and the Islands Trust OCP amendments, do you know what you want to do already, and are you desiring the community to buy into recommendations, or are you really looking for actions that the community can support and that will bring results?
I think the latter, for sure. We certainly have to, there is this imposition of Bill 27 from the government that we must meet their deadlines and their requirements. But I think even at Trust Council level, we were recognizing that in some ways the Islands Trust, as a local government, with their preserve and protect mandate and the policy statements that they already have, are in some ways ahead of many other local governments in already doing the kinds of things that other local governments will have to that they haven't been doing, and we've already been doing in our official community plans and policies and actions. And I think that this is another way to ensure that the official community plan reflects the community's wishes and what they see as the most important things, and also recognizes that beyond the provincial requirement, climate change is something that is absolutely imperative we look at, whether we had the external requirement or not. As a community, I'm sure the community would start saying, and they have been saying, well, where's the climate change language in our local government documents?
That was an interview I recorded with Deb Ferens, a Gaborola Island local trust representative. The meeting on addressing climate change is scheduled for 7 p.m. November 26th at the Women's Institute Hall, 476 South Road, Gaborola Island, B.C. Go and be heard. This concludes our first show. You are listening to CKGI on CHLY, Radio Gaborola News. Thanks to 101.7 FM Radio Malaspina. We close our show with a few more songs from Miles Black. Here he is performing When the World Expands Faster Than You and Stretch Marks. I'm Ken Zakrescu. Thank you for listening today.
I'll do one more song, and this is another original. It's called When the World Expands Faster Than You. Like a a doll's head. Faster than you, when the world expands faster than you, when the world expands faster than you. The night is a safe place to be, and you are young and beautiful. Guns in the fire. Hey girls, grow and stretch your skin. It's where you take a breath. It's how the air gets in.
It's how the air gets in.